I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
One would never defeat one's circumstances by working and saving one's pennies. One would never, by working, acquire that many pennies. And besides, the social treatment accorded even the most successful Negroes proved that one needed, in order to be free, something more than a bank account. One needed a handle, a lever, a means of inspiring fear. It was absolutely clear that the police would whip you and take you in as long as they could get away with it, and that everyone else, housewives, taxi drivers, elevator boys, dishwashers, bartenders, lawyers, judges, doctors, and grocers would never, by the operation of any generous human feeling, cease to use you as an outlet for his frustrations and hostilities. Neither civilized reason nor Christian love would cause any of those people to treat you as they presumably wanted to be treated. Only the fear of your power to retaliate would cause them to do that, or to seem to do it, which was and is good enough. There appears to be a vast amount of confusion on this point, but I do not know many Negroes who are eager to be accepted by white people, still less to be loved by them. They, the blacks, simply don't wish to be beaten over the head by the whites every instant of our brief passage on this planet. White people in this country will have quite enough to do in learning how to accept and love themselves and each other. And when they have achieved this, which will not be tomorrow, and may very well be never, the Negro problem will no longer exist, for will no longer be needed. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are live on a Sunday. Ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. I'm serious. We only got one last week. What's going on out there, people?
What is going on?
We see these numbers, downloads going up and up and up. We need some more reviews, okay? Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.
It ain't got to be long, y'all.
We don't care what it say as long as it's nice. You know,
you can put a smiling emoji. We don't care.
Hey, how y'all doing? You know, love the show. You don't have to be long. But yeah, leave us a 5-star review if you got time. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport,
Bulletball.
And Bulletball Extreme. And that excerpt from today's podcast is "The Fire Next Time," by James Baldwin. And just, you know, one of the most brilliant people on race ever, period, of all time. So many of your faves have completely you know, like, been inspired by him, copied him, can never live up to that, you know, all that stuff. Iconic, you know. But yeah, I love his analysis on racism because I think it's something that it takes, that it's one more step deeper than a lot of people were willing to go at the time, which is
right.
White people need the idea of the nigger, but for them, not for us.
Not for us.
It's for them. Like, we, you know, I love when he breaks down, like, yo, black people are not sitting around wanting to be, like, loved and accepted by white people. That's, mm-hmm. We want to be left alone. Like,
it's like, that's the answer. If you leave us alone, we will be fine. Like, y'all keep fucking with us, and that's the problem.
Yeah, like, I don't want to die because I'm black.
Right.
You know what I mean? I, you know, like, the so much of the causes for black people, if you look at it, civil rights, that's not civil rights is not some revolutionary call to, like, violence or what. Well, it's like, can you treat us civilly? Can you just respect our rights? Is that okay? You know, even, like, I want the right to be able to hold a job, you know, when I am qualified for said job and I apply for said job and I can do said job. I would just like to be able to do that and be left to my own devices without it being about I'm black, without dealing with racism in my workplace. You know, when I live in a certain area, I would like my tax money to be used in my area the same way it would be used in a white area of town. You know, so much of what we want and what we still have not gotten from this country isn't even payback. Like, this isn't even, this before you get to, like, reparations and all this other shit. Like, this is not even that. This is, like, literally, we would like you to let us have an even playing field, but white people can't give us that because essentially, and this is from James Baldwin's analysis, they don't love themselves. You know, whiteness in mass has done too much horrible shit to reconcile with it and love themselves. So they have to invent these categories for everyone who's not white, as to why they don't have things fair, as why they don't have things even, right? It has to be pathological. It's our fault. We drink too much, we smoke too much, we have diabetes, we're stupid, we're not, you know, it's all our fault, right? It's all it's everyone else's fault except white people's. And obviously in general, with this being like untrue, you also have just the fact that that never really leaves them to truly learn to love themselves. You know, it's like an abusive person or a narcissist. What people kind of skip about a narcissist is that way because they don't love themselves.
Right.
So then they have to do these things to other people. If they love themselves, they wouldn't spend so much time trying to, like, you know, confuse and gaslight everyone else around them and look over there, look at this, and let's be all angry at this. They'd be able to say, no, this is me. You know, these are the steps I need to take to love myself. And I feel like whiteness as a culture, I don't think it's ever gonna, like you said, if ever, I don't think it's ever gonna achieve that. And so it'll always be some new group's fault. It'll be somebody who, you know, and it's been used against them. You know, I mean, this Donald Trump administration is a perfect example of whiteness's need to punish and ostracize people, things that are not white, being completely used against them. The programming has been there. It has always been there. And it's not going anywhere. You know, this, like Chris Rock said years ago, he had his new stand-up special. He's like, this right here is the best version of white people we've ever had. And it still ain't enough. You know, but this, like, white people are, it will take forever for them to truly, like, work on just fixing whiteness and then be able to be confident in themselves enough to be equal with people, instead of trying to say we're going to project the image of superiority and then put rules in place to try to defend this superiority. I watched this documentary yesterday on Netflix called Uppity, the Willie T. Gibbs story about this black sports car racer, like NASCAR, Formula One, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the amount of stuff that white people did to sabotage this man so that they can, because, you know, racing is one area where you, if you win the race, you're the best. Like, there's not a, you know, there's not like a gray area of, yeah, he wins all the races, but he's not the best. Like, no, if you win the race, that means you were better than everyone else on the track that day. And the things that were done to sabotage this man to make sure he was not this black person coming in ahead of all the white people in the field. You know, and that's kind of what a lot of society is white people doing shit to sabotage other folks, and then being like, you know, specifically black people in many cases, and then being like, see, they don't deserve to be given a fair shot because they can't win with a fair shot, even though we're cheating them every step of the way.
Yeah, and it's one of the things where if whiteness fixed itself, whiteness would have to admit whiteness as a whole is flawed. Ooh. And whiteness does not want to admit that. Whiteness will not admit that it's flawed to the death. That's why when we was talking the other day and these people are coming out and they were angry about Kaepernick taking a knee. Mm-hmm. They're angry about all this other stuff. You know, anybody else is, you know, it's very frustrating because the same people that have excuses for other things and other people obeying the rules and following the laws all of a sudden are protesting the laws that are meant for the greater good for everybody, including them. So that's why we said the other day about them when I was saying that they are willing to die. Mm-hmm. I believe that they are like, death is worth it to me. Like, I do not care if I die, if my children die. And the reason why I said that is because look how our country does guns. All the white children, black, everybody get killed by guns, like across America. But most people get killed by guns, they're actually in their household. And we read stories all the time about somebody had a gun in the car and the baby took the gun and shot the other baby and shot the parent and they died. But a lot of these people would turn around and they would still say they don't want any restrictions on guns. So for me, it's one of those things where whiteness will take whiteness to the grave before they admit that it's flawed, before right. they admit that they're the one with the issues, before they admit that they're actually no better than any other group of people.
Well, here's where I was disagreeing with you over that. It's not that, and it's a slight disagreement, but it's not that they are willing to die. It's just like the gun thing you described. They believe so hard in their supremacy and in their whiteness, they don't think they will. You know what I'm saying? Like those people that gather out there and don't do social distancing, they think they're going to live, Karen. None of them walked out that house and said, I hope I get it and die today to prove a point. They all walked out of their house and said, I'm not going to get it. It's not, this is all overblown and it's fake news and it's not true, blah, blah, blah. In the same way that people look at the statistics about guns and they get them. And they, you know, even knowing that, hey, the odds are your gun will be stolen. The odds are more likely someone in your own household will be shot with the gun. The odds are they'll be using domestic violence, suicide, children, accidents, things like, right? They don't care.
No.
They have convinced themselves that it won't be me. Like, yes, those things are true. Yes, those things exist. Yes, those things happen. They don't happen to people like me. And I think that's kind of, like I said, it's a small distinction, but it's the most important distinction to me, is because that's what white supremacy is, this belief I can't be touched by this, right? The fire will burn everyone, but it won't burn me. But it will burn you.
You in the same house,
right? They don't believe it. They don't believe the facts, right? They don't think those people out there with their guns and their fucking camouflage and their Make America Great Again hats and their vest and their their Confederate flags and stuff, not wearing masks, standing 3 feet from each other, they do not think it will come for them, you know. And very much the same way I talked about the church stuff, the people in the church don't think it's gonna happen to them. Doesn't matter what facts and science say, they believe in something that is more of a cult, more of a faithful belief, more of a religion. And white supremacy is all those.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? So, like, this is why you see white people acting completely counter to what we would consider to be their best interest, is because their best interest is in the cult. It's in the faith. It's in the belief that we are superior, that this thing does not happen to us, you know? So, yeah, man.
And like I said, it's a slight difference, and I understand. And I guess for me, I'm going, well, the end result is death, so yeah. You're just accepting that.
Yeah, like I said, it was worth pointing out,
right?
You know what I mean, is that they're so delusional, they don't even think of it the way you think, because there's a nobility to a certain extent of thinking, like, for example, if you're a medical professional right now and you're working on the front lines dealing with people that have COVID-19 and coronavirus and stuff, if you are out here on the front lines, there's a certain nobility to me knowing that, you know, something could happen to you,
right?
And you get up every day and you go do that job anyway.
Correct.
Right? There's a certain nobility in it. I don't want it to be that way.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, even before the COVID-19, just the fact that they go out, deal with people that have infectious diseases, all kinds of stuff,
all the time,
there's a certain bravery to it, right?
Yes, it is.
I can't even ascribe that braveness to these protesters. Mm-mm. Because they actually don't think this is going to happen to them. You see what I'm saying? There's not even a nobility to it. It's simply craving white supremacist cult-like behavior. That's all it is. But yeah, so much of it is predicated on the belief that there's a superiority to them, and then an inferiority to everyone else. And until they love themselves, they're never going to be able to break themselves of that narcotic.
Mm-mm. And it's a hell of a drug.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know, ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow. All right, just as a show note, man, you guys probably seen it already if you're listening on the podcast feed at some point, but I did do another Medium talk. I did an interview with Whitney Robinson. She's an epidemiologist, and we talked about COVID-19 and coronavirus and just like the spread of it from an epidemic standpoint. You know, I felt like I talked to Kokwi and we talked more about like, you know, the actual disease, like the virus of it, you know, right. Like, hey, wash your hands, don't touch, what does it mean to say don't touch your face? And you know, some of it does overlap, but then with Whitney I ended up talking more about like the epidemic what versus a pandemic, like what, how do they come up with these numbers and these models for death and all of this stuff, you know. I thought it was a really good conversation. Hopefully people get a chance to listen to it. Spread the word, share it, you know, with your hotel cousins that think it's the 5G or whatever. Like, we got to do what we can to try to save these dummies from each other.
Right, for we all die.
Right, like somebody got to do something, because these motherfuckers they're gonna take the rest of us down with them.
Right, and that's the frustrating part. If you could just go alone, I'd be cool. But I'm like, goddamn, I have to go with you off of your stupidity.
Yeah, all these 5G conspiracies have really shown me who was paying attention during Osmosis Jones and who wasn't. Okay, I did not watch Osmosis Jones and Innerspace for you motherfuckers to be out here talking about some goddamn 5G. Okay, this is sick. All right. Oh yeah, today is sponsored as well. Let me see. Here we go. Oh man, free stuff.
Free.
How many of y'all like free stuff?
I do.
I like free stuff as well. And how many of y'all are stuck in your house right now with nothing but you and your genitals and time? Well, Adam and Eve is trying to help give you free stuff to fill a little bit of that time and a lot of those genitals, actually. Go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and you can get 50% off. And then you can get loads of free stuff. Loads will be all over the place. Okay, enter offer code TBGWT and you get 10 tantalizing free items. I'm talking a sexy gift for either one of y'all, a special gift for either one of y'all, and a third item for both of y'all. And if it ain't both of y'all, I say get greedy, use it all on yourself. And plus they give you 6 free spicy movies and free shipping. Okay, you're not going nowhere for the foreseeable future. They keep extending these lockdowns, okay? And I'm just saying, extend yourself, okay? Go ahead and go to adamandeve.com and put in code TBGWT. And when you go to check out, you'll get half off of one item. You'll get 6 free movies. You'll get 3 different gifts in your package. And free shipping, okay? It comes in a discreet box right to your house, and you can practice some social distancing, okay?
Yes, you can.
So we just trying to help you before you go out here and make some type of mistake on Tinder.
Come on.
All right, we don't want you to have to be in the hospital.
We don't want none of y'all on ventilators.
All right, so until next time, guys, go to adamandeve.com, code TBGWT. All right, let's get into the news, guys. There's all kinds of stuff happening out here. I guess coronavirus is the main thing that's happening out here on these streets. Let me go to that segment real quick. Let's see if I can find that coronavirus song. All right, let's see. Here's a song called Coronavirus by G-Mac Cash.
G-Mac Cash?
Achoo!
Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. I'ma chill at the crib cause I'm safe here. I ain't even about to drink me a Corona beer. I'm about to stay at the crib for about a year. and I ain't coming back out until this shit clear.
Come on.
I bought me a mask and a lot of gloves, and I still feel like that is not enough. I ain't shaking no hands, I don't want to hug. Make sure you wash your hands with a lot of love. So if you got that CV, they gon' find you. If you coughing, I ain't trying to be around you. I ain't even trying to stand beside or behind you. I'ma try to help them motherfuckers find you. I ain't even about to hop on no plane. I ain't even about to stand in the rain. I ain't getting on no train. I ain't even about to drive in my lane. I'm about to stay in the house and play the game. Bitch, ooh, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus.
Oh, my God. We stand a sanitary king.
Come on.
Shout out to G-Mac Cash.
That's my bop. He going, I'm straight. We ain't doing shit with the coronavirus. Bitch, you got it. We gonna, not they. We gonna find you.
This is way better than that playlist.
Come on. I like this.
Move, bitch. You got coronavirus. Wash your hands with a lot of love.
Oh, I ain't going on a plane. I ain't going on a train. I'm not getting an automobile, bitch. No.
Would not, could not. Yes, I can.
Right. Mm-mm.
Sam, I am, bitch.
Come on. Mm-mm. You ain't cooking me a ham, nor bacon, nor green eggs.
All right, guys. Let's get to the news. Trump has announced the opening America up again guidelines for coronavirus. He announced new guidelines for reopening states as soon as May 1st.
That's not happening.
America wants to be open and Americans want to be open, says Trump.
Depending on who you ask.
Based on the latest data, our team of experts agree we can start the next front in our war, which we are calling Open Up America Again.
The next front? We didn't do it right the first time, so how can it be a next front?
This is the first time he's make America great again. This nigga is opening up America again. You shut America down, didn't you, sir? When you didn't take this serious?
Right.
That is what we are doing, opening up our country, and we have to do that. Phase 1 recommends continuing social distancing, closure of schools, teleworking, sheltering in place for vulnerable individuals. Non-essential travel will still be discouraged. Bars should remain closed. And visits to nursing homes or hospitals should also remain prohibited. Gyms and larger venues could also open as long as they adhere to strict social distancing practices. You can't.
Right. That's the point.
People are going to be breathing hard as fuck in them gyms.
Right. It does not make sense. And the thing is, you said this. And particularly a lot of states that have Democratic governors, I'm not going to be funny. They're going to go, okay, yeah, fuck you.
Right.
Y'all take y'all asses outside. The police going to get you. No. Because what's going to happen is that all these states that's quote unquote following this guideline, their numbers are going to just spike up. Like, that's all that's going to happen. Their numbers with the mayor of New York City, I think, is it the mayor or the governor? I want to say
De Blasio is the mayor. Cuomo is the governor.
The governor, okay. The governor was like, hey, dog, until we get like 2 weeks of numbers constantly declining, the fuck is this? This doesn't make any sense.
Phase 2 would allow schools, restaurants, and bars to reopen with limited occupancy. Non-essential travel can resume, and people can gather in groups no larger than 50. But teleworking is still encouraged.
No larger than 50?
Yeah.
They're having places that's having outbreaks of people just going to visit other family members with, like, small groups. And you talk about no more than 50, dog.
Phase 3 would allow workplaces to... Keep in mind, none of this involves testing, if you've noticed. Phase 3 would allow workplaces to reopen with no restrictions, and visits to senior care centers and hospitals could resume. It is essentially returning to our new normal with all of what we talked about through all the phases, continuing good hygiene practices, continuing the respect for spaces between individuals, and because we know that we still have an issue with the asymptomatic spread, said Dr. Deborah Birx. Trump's announcement came as 7 northeastern states already said they were extending the shutdown until May 15th in a concerted effort to contain the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, it's going to get extended every 30 days for a while, y'all, until otherwise notice. They reopened up the beach in Florida and immediately everybody was fucking on top of each other. And so you know what? Another 14 to 21 days, they're going to have another spike.
Yep. And the way it incubates and the way, like, and you know, like I said, I'm not an expert on this. You know, Whitney, who I talked to last night, like, she was saying, like, there is a need to open things up. There is a need, like, this is not just, like, bullshit when you hear people talking about, you know, the need to have some semblance of a society and have people returning to work and all this stuff, because you know, people, that is a legit thing for people. But she's like, you know, this plan right here is not it, you know, like just the fact that we don't have testing stuff, basic things,
right,
is just gonna make it impossible, because, or just dangerous, because you basically don't know who's a infection vector and who's not.
Mm-mm. And businesses, particularly companies that are really, really big, are like, no, put like this, even if it open up, big companies are gonna be like, y'all still work at home. Yeah, we hear them, y'all still work at home, because if they're not doing testing, what's the point in bringing everybody back just right. for it to be an outbreak in our company, and then y'all turn around and sue us for some shit talking about I didn't have coronavirus and now I got it because I was required to come back to work.
The $349 billion funding program for small business loans is already out of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because companies that didn't have no business getting it was getting it.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes. I was reading online where they said companies like Ruth Chris and like Potbelly, like big companies, were actually getting money that was actually meant for small businesses. And that's why they ran out so quickly.
Wow. Florida man released from jail due to the COVID-19 was arrested 24 hours later for murder. That's not good. And when shit like this happens, you know, then it's hard to advocate for people getting out and stuff. But I mean, over 100 other people got out and I'm sure didn't do anything.
Correct.
So it's still the right move, but every time you see something like this, it's like, fuck, you know they're gonna seize on this and be like, and that's why we need to keep all of them in jail and let them die and shit like that.
Right, it's not humane.
Right. Governor of Nairobi, Kenya faces backlash over plans to put bottles of Hennessy in coronavirus care packages.
He just said you had to drink it.
Damn, the Surgeon General in America was right. We can't help ourselves.
I'm not even mad.
The governor of Nairobi, Kenya has angered some of the public and has since gone viral on social media amid backlash. This was after announcing that he will be adding small bottles of Hennessy to food packs that will be handed out to the city's most impoverished families in need due to coronavirus pandemic. The governor, Mike Sonko, announced his plans this past Tuesday during a media briefing. From the research, which is being conducted by the World Health Organization and various health organizations, it has been revealed that alcohol plays a very major role in killing the coronavirus or any sort of virus. Keep in mind, guys, 30 seconds ago, Karen said she's not even mad at this man for doing this. In response, several critics commented under the post questioning, is he serious? And even shocked that this was a real plan. Dr. Githinji Gitahi, who is a global CEO of MREF Help Africa, also criticized the governor's plan in a tweet saying, please completely ignore clowning of a major global pandemic taking lives and putting extreme pressure on households. Dump this the way you would dump your used COVID-19 mask, never to be recovered. At MOH_Kenya needs to condemn this, as this is not an ordinary citizen. Yeah. Anytime they gotta go to the clown emoji on you.
Shit got real.
The World Health Organization says that drinking alcohol does not prevent or protect against coronavirus. In fact, the organization noted that excessive amounts of alcohol could increase the effects of the coronavirus. But the governor also claimed a bottle of Hennessy could be used as hand sanitizer. However, this also has been proven not to be effective, as WHO reveals that alcohol-based sanitizers should be greater than 60% ethanol or 70% isopropanol in healthcare settings. Hennessy is only 40% of alcohol.
No, I thought you talking about like the little mini bottles
of alcohol.
Yes, the little.
Yeah, what would that matter if it was a little mini bottle or not?
Oh,
it's still the same percentage of alcohol.
Yeah, it's still the same percentage of alcohol, but you know, I thought, well, he gonna do like the little like traveling cases.
That's fine, but I'm saying, even if it was traveling cases, what would it matter? Is he's lying? It doesn't.
Oh, help. yes. Now that other bullshit, he lying. You could just say, here's some alcohol, do what you want to with it. You didn't have to add like, all this that was fake
a,
bullshit.
This wasn't a party favor he was doing for the country, Karen. He told people this is gonna fight coronavirus.
I didn't know all this.
Well, you had to jump in there with the hot take right away for knowing I had to read the article. You was just like, this is a good thing. Moving on. And now we know this man gonna have people out here thinking they can take off their mask and mm-hmm. dance together and sip a little bit of Hennessy and fix the whole problem.
Mm-mm. I thought he just was like, here's something to help you calm down. The end. I didn't realize he was talking about this gonna help. No, that it's not gonna help.
According to the BBC, Governor Sonko has been previously accused of drug trafficking and money laundering, which he has since denied. Prison authorities also claim he escaped from prison 20 years ago from a maximum security facility. Then how is he governor? What is happening?
What?
How is he governor?
How does he have power?
What?
Y'all would have this on record. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Who voted for him?
What is... Wow. I guess... Was he giving away Hennessy at the polls? Is that how he won the vote? Large hospitality companies are using small business loans to pay off obligations instead of their employees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah, they're getting out of debt.
The Orlando Sentinel reports that a Pennsylvania investment firm that owns the Ritz-Carlton Coconut Grove in Miami has applied for about 48 taxpayer-backed loans under an emergency program that was created to help small businesses. A Maryland hotel has also applied for more than 50 loans meant to help small businesses despite making over $1.5 billion in revenue last year. Right. So far, the company has been approved for about 10 of these 50 loans. The two small business loans went to Winter Park's Ruth's Hospitality Group, a parent company of Ruth Chris Steakhouse, which made $42 million in profits in 2019. The Orlando Sentinel reported Winter Park spent $41 million buying back stock and paying dividends to shareholders.
That should be fucking illegal. No, you're too big. If you have like over, I don't know what the number is, 50 or 100 employees, you know, anything like that. No, there have to be a cap. If you have over X amount of employees, you don't qualify as a small business. You just don't.
We should be able to throw these people in jail.
Right. How are you able to do this?
I thought this was a major thing. Well, you know what? But who knows what ended up in the final bill. I know it was like, we don't want airlines to be able to do this and all this stuff, but that may have just been the things that Democrats said we don't want and didn't have the numbers to make sure that we didn't get it in the bill because people don't vote for Democrats because, hey guys, I'll never vote for the lesser of two evils and all this bullshit.
Right.
So they might not have had the numbers to keep stuff like that in because they had provisions that I saw proposed by several high-ranking Democrats who were like, yeah, we're not gonna allow companies to bail themselves out, we're not gonna allow them to buy back stock with this and all this, but that's clearly what some of these companies are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Black people in New York City are twice as likely to die from coronavirus as white people. So my black folks, man, stay inside. Yeah, rules, shit is real important. You know, hopefully we already
wash
know
your hands,
that.
Yes.
If you listen to this, hopefully you know that, man. Like, this is not a, cause we ain't, you know, we stupid mm-hmm. and this is nope. No, this is not anything negative towards black folks, but just protect yourself. We already know
we
do not get as much, care or have access to as much health care as often as white people do.
Right, and it's a higher probability that when you go in initially, you may get turned away.
Yeah, fatalities among Hispanic or Latino people were the second highest. Black people were, of course, the most, twice as likely as white people, and then white people were third. Asian people were the least affected with 463 deaths so far. So yeah, man, this is scary as shit, man. Let's see what else we got here. Antibodies research shows that coronavirus may be more widespread than known. Yeah, because it was here before we even were tested for it and any of that. and when people were getting sick and going to hospital shit, nobody knew what the fuck it was. Mm-mm. back as far as like November, anecdotal reports are coming. So
right. And I remember I started listening to The Daily, that podcast. Mm-hmm. And they was talking to a lady that was basically a nurse on the front line, and she was saying like, because it falls down administration, because the administration was not informing hospitals and everything like that like they should have, everybody just assumed like where you were, you're traveling mattered, not realizing mm-hmm. it was already here. So what was happening was that after Mardi Gras, because the lady was from New Orleans, after Mardi Gras people had started coming in with symptoms, and they just told them it was a cold, and they sent these people back home. So, and that's because they were actually unaware. So, you know, and as they begin to find out and learn and things like that, and you know, they was talking about the traumatic trauma for them dealing with this, and for the patients, like it is a lot. And so when people say stupid stuff, you get mad, because you're like, hey, these people on the front line are actually dealing with some real shit, and just because you can't see the effects of it does not mean it's not real.
Yeah, and like I said, the antibody testing shows like people have basically had it at some point, and I believe it's Santa Clara County. They discovered that 2.5% to 4.2% of those tested were positive for antibodies, a number suggesting a much higher prior infection rate than the official count. According to the initial data, researchers estimate that a range of people who may have had the virus from between 48,000 to 81,000 in the county of 2 million, which is shockingly higher than the approximate 1,000 in the country's official count at the time that the samples were taken. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, and I hate to be the conspiracy person over here, but in my opinion, I think that the administration, Donald Trump's administration, is not pushing tests, because if you push tests, you would actually have real numbers, like real true numbers, and the numbers are probably fucking ridiculous on how many people are asymptomatic, how many people we've got, and they don't want to deal with the reality of people throwing the numbers around.
Well, also though, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a conspiracy, because I think that conspiracy implies a level of competence in this administration that does not exist. I don't think they have the test. You know what I'm saying?
Agree. Yeah, agree. Like right.
I don't think it was even like by design to not have a test. I think they don't have a test because it's Donald Trump and these motherfuckers is like, he's that inept. Like, we could have had the test. He just was like, nah, he don't give a fuck about the American people.
No.
You know? Just a fucking idiot. You know? He don't, like, he really is one of those fake it till you make it motherfuckers. So, I don't know. Maybe it is a conspiracy. Maybe it was like, you know, maybe I could see him being like, cause I do remember him thinking keeping the numbers down low. And I guess not having tests is one way of pretending that the numbers are low. But right. Then it's like, it's a combination of
right
incompetence and conspiracy, because he would be like, I don't want these numbers to be high, so let's not get tests. And then at the same time, when the deaths start piling up and shit, it's like, well, you can't ignore that people got it now. And he would be dumb enough to not think that far in the future, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a combination. Like I said, I know I'm far out there with my conspiracy theories on it and stuff. Yeah, I will admit that this is based in nobody's facts.
Yeah, so, but you know what? It's not that crazy. You know, I can see it happening with these motherfuckers. You know?
Right. In the next year or two after.
These things just. Right. Go ahead, sister. What was you saying?
All I'm saying is that with the coronavirus happening over here, I have a conspiracy theory, my brother. I feel like the white man started this from the beginning. I feel as though the whole thing was to kill us. Kill the black and brown people.
Oh, okay. I see.
You know, I feel that they released it into the community. That's what I think. They did it through the drugs and through the alcohol. That's why they telling us not to smoke and drink now. But we already got it.
Oh, okay. All right, that's deep. I didn't know. I hadn't thought of that. I appreciate you coming on the show and educating us.
Yeah, let me take
along with the epidemiologists and the public health officials that I've had on the show. But yes. here you go. Here. Oh. You might need this.
Yeah. Oh, some lotion. Oh, yeah.
I think you might be a little ashy over there.
Let me take my aluminum foil hat off too.
It's like Snickers. You're not yourself. I'm not myself no more. Moisturized. Well, you get moisturized, and then that should be the next commercial for cocoa butter lotion. They have some nigga talking real reckless, and then you hand them the lotion, they be like, you're not yourself when you're not moisturized.
Mm-hmm. Oh, apparently this is alkaline water free.
Even sex parties have moved online as people turn to cyber sex during the lockdown.
Come on, safe sex.
Yeah, it's better than getting that coronavirus on you, that COVID. Don't nobody want that.
Mm-mm, you can't, but to the best we know, you can't get the virus like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is computer virus.
So that's good, you know. Hop online and jerk it off. All right. The FDA says there's no need to sanitize food packaging after returning from the grocery store.
Whatever.
Okay, here we go. Fuck the FDA now, guys. Fuck scientists.
Whatever.
Put some more of that lotion on over there, please. I'm trying to do a scientific show over here, Karen. Please.
Shit, man.
This is actual news that I researched and brought to the show. So let's not do that. Paranoid shoppers have been sanitizing their food packaging and they can now give it a rest, according to the FDA. The agency said in new consumer guidance on Thursday that there is no evidence of food packaging being associated with transmission of COVID-19. However, if you wish, you can wipe down product packaging and allow it to air dry as an extra precaution, the FDA said. The virus is known to survive on surfaces for hours or even days, leading many to fear the possibility of contracting it through grocery store deliveries or items brought home from the store. There's also no known cases of coronavirus being transmitted through food itself. In particular, coronavirus causes respiratory illness and is spread from person to person, unlike foodborne gastrointestinal or GI viruses such as the norovirus and hepatitis A that often make people ill through contaminated food. The agency reiterated advice to thoroughly wash hands after returning from the grocery store and once again after putting groceries away. The FDA also urged shoppers to purchase enough food for 1 to 2 weeks on the trip to the store. Buying more than you need can create unnecessary demand and temporary shortages, the agency said. So basically don't hoard, but buy enough for a week or two and then stop there.
Right, so you don't have to continually go every few days.
The FDA recommends that all shoppers wear face coverings or masks in grocery stores, as it is now required in some places. While in the store, the agency urges shoppers to practice social distancing, making sure to stay at least 6 feet away from others. The agency said that its usual food hygiene and cleanliness advice is just as important to follow in the pandemic. Fresh fruits and vegetables, including those with inedible rinds, should always be scrubbed thoroughly under running water before eating. Canned goods should have their lids cleaned before opening. It is important to regularly clean and sanitize kitchen counters and other food preparation areas with disinfectants such as Lysol, the FDA notes. So it's kind of like saying both, where it's like there's no harm in cleaning, but the odds of you getting it because you took something home from the store is low. But then at the same time, they're like, you should already been cleaning shit, so like just continue to clean shit anyway, wipe off your cans and all this type of shit. So it's, I don't know, I feel like I'm gonna still keep cleaning my shit.
Yeah, it's a mixed words, but yeah, I do understand what they're saying, but I guess my thing is, you telling people this shit can live on surfaces, how else do you think people are going to respond to that?
Yeah. And it's so much mixed information and so many unvetted sources and people, so much anecdotal shit. A lot of the studies that we're even getting this stuff from, people aren't actually, they're not peer reviewed and they're too relatively fresh to even know for sure. You know, like there, a lot of this stuff is, we're checking hospitals. Well, there's hospitals where people have had a lot of coronavirus and a lot of time and a lot of exposure to it, you know, so it can be on a surgical mask for up to 7 days after they, you know, they've tested stuff like that. in certain environments, you know, it could get by on your shoes and stuff. Like, yeah, if you're in a fucking coronavirus ward, it probably everything in that motherfucker, every computer, every mouse, every counter, everything, you know, even if you're cleaning and shit, you can't get to every fucking thing microscopically. So like, you know, I think it's just got everybody paranoid. But yeah, I'm just cleaning my shit off to clean my shit off. Fuck that noise, you know.
Oh, so you on my side?
Yeah, I'm cleaning it off to clean it off. Like, it's not even, like, at this point, it's not even about the science of it. It's just for my own peace of mind, you know what I mean? But I'm not gonna reject the science. Like, fuck you scientists, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, nah, I'm gonna do it just because it makes me feel, at this point, that I'm paranoid enough that it makes me feel more comfortable, you know. But yeah, I can understand how they would be like, guys, this is not actually a thing that is, we don't have proof that this is how it's getting up to people. Because another thing that people don't talk about, a lot of these cases where they find that the virus can be sustained on these services, that's not proof that that's how people get it.
True.
So you know what I mean? Yeah. like they have stuff where it's like, they found coronavirus in people's feces, coronavirus in dead people and shit, but they don't have actual proof that the virus at that point is sustainable enough to give people, like, they can, that they, it can be communicable, like they can, right, still, it's viable to spread that way. As you guys can tell, I read so much about this shit to do this show. I fucking hate it, but I said, to some extent, I feel like it's making me paranoid knowing all this shit.
Right. Yeah, you know? it will, because you had to, I had went outside and I had came back in, and when I came back in, because I didn't have any shoes on, I had socks on, I took off my socks, I washed my hands, I Lysoled everything down. And I was like, you know, some of that stuff you ain't got to do. I was like, well, I just feel better, just kill the disease.
Yeah, I just worry about, I just don't want you to feel too paranoid, because I think it also, there's a cost on all this stuff on our mental health when we walk outside and feel like we're constantly like under attack to a point that it's, yes, not, you know. The other day you were telling me how you were getting down and feeling sad about it, and so, mm-hmm, that's the reason I had to let you know, is because I'm like, you're part of the reason you're being sad is because you're paranoid. You don't, like, I don't need you to be paranoid about it. True. Just need you to be knowledgeable, you know. Like, knowing something and letting it drive you crazy is two different things.
Yes.
You know, so that, to me, that's the most important thing, is our well-being in the house mentally, because we're going to be in the house for a while.
Yes.
You know, I see all these people breaking down in their relationships and shit, like people, you know, like people going through a lot.
Yeah. And I didn't realize how much it was affecting me until, like, just the end. I'm a lot better now, but like, just the thought of going outside just caused anxiety to strike. I was like, the fuck, yeah, I'm going outside? No, I'm not going outside. It's death out there.
And there's good days and bad days and all that stuff too, but like, you know, I don't want you to feel like if I go sit outside on the patio for an hour that something coronavirus, like,
yes,
you know. And I, like, someone was saying that, like, in the chat, I don't know if they were joking or just trying to be like, you know, people do that thing where it's like, I'm being supportive of you by agreeing with you, and I'm like, I live here. No, we can't. That's not that's not actual support. Like, y'all, like, no, that's not how it works. You can go outside and sit on your patio and you'll be fine. There's no one, we don't live close to people like that,
no,
or anything.
We don't.
So just, you know, let's not, like, drive ourselves crazy here, because, you know, this may go on for a while, and it, right, and if so, you know, this thing was like, don't open the window, coronavirus, like, that's not gonna work.
it's not, but it'll make you feel like that. So, you know, I'm glad that I actually got to the point where, like I said, I'm mentally in a much better place, and I didn't realize how much I just needed the vitamin D from the sun, because the sun actually boosts mm-hmm. your feeling, makes you actually make,
I mean, there's a doctor here in North Carolina who was saying how, like, he doesn't want the parks closed, because, you know, people was like, close the parks, and then they closed the parking lots of our parks because people were getting there and not practicing social distancing. And he was like, because everybody's like, the next step is close the parks, and he said, no, don't close the parks. People do need to be outdoors a bit. Like, there is something to the fact of going outside, getting, whether it's exercise, getting out in the sun, not being in the house all day. It's like there's a mental cost to all this shit too. You know, this isn't the same as going into the mall or going in, right, you know, some small enclosed spaces. Like, you know, practice social distancing, wash your hands, practice good hygiene. But yes, we need to a certain extent allow people to exist in other capacities than just sitting in the house all day. So, you know, it's just, I think it's just it's like a compromise. You have to, you know what I'm saying, like you want to be in this space of awareness, but not like, I don't know, depression or yes, you know what I'm saying, like, and
where
I think
you just
that's
feel like the weight because you just know so much.
Yeah, that's the fine line everyone's trying to walk here, and I, you know, and I think more information is what helps me anyway.
Right. And the thing is, because the information trickles, that's the problem. Because like you say, I understand now is the information changes because they are continually learning new things. And so as they learn new things, they kind of pass it to us. So we have to kind of adapt accordingly to that. Like the patio, I actually did cleaning and sweeping and stuff like that. So I'm thinking about, you know, maybe over the next week or so, getting out there cleaning and sweeping and dusting it off and stuff like that. And, you know, sitting out there more frequently and, you know, possibly getting plants and things like that, you know, just to get outside. But also remember when I come back in, you know, to wash my hands and things like that too. Because, yeah, you know.
Now, you know, because it spreads from people. So even if, like, on our patio, there's no people out there.
Mm-mm.
So technically, and I'm not saying you should wash your hands, period.
Right.
But that's not how you're going to get it, is my point. You see what I'm saying? Like, they've got people so paranoid that it's like, I'm going to get it. Like,
right.
No, you can walk outside of our patio where no person has been out there,
mm-mm,
touch the chairs, nobody sat in but us, and you won't get coronavirus. No one's been over there coughing and sneezing on the chairs. No one else has sat in them.
No.
That's not how it works. Now, wash your hands coming in and out the house because that's just what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But, you know, that, like, I don't want you to just walk around being paranoid. That's the stuff I'm talking about. You know, because I think that level of paranoia is just not healthy.
No, it's not.
Coronavirus cases skyrocket in South Dakota after the governor dismisses quarantine measures.
Mm-hmm. Ain't South Dakota one of them plants was? One of them meat plants?
Yeah, Smithfield plant. Smithfield Foods accounts for 5% of the country's pork production. They had to shut down because they had 300 workers at the processing plant infected with the deadly bug.
300, my nigga.
Mm-hmm. She criticized the quarantine idea as herd mentality and not leadership, saying South Dakota is not New York.
That's what everybody say until New York numbers go down and y'all numbers fucking skyrocket.
The Republican governor continues to resist the shutdown even as calls for such policies mount. A stay-at-home order would give our health professionals. Oh, and then of course, like, the state medical association penned a letter basically being like, this is why we need a stay-at-home order, and she don't give a fuck.
Mm-mm, they following their president.
Yep. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, on Friday, April the 3rd, cited potential impact of residents' mental health among a variety of factors as to why she's resisting the state lockdown. We are a connected community. That's how it spreads. Sorry. We are a connected community. There's just that side of it as well. In addition to suicides and domestic abuse, there are a lot of downsides to it as well.
Yeah, your citizens are going to get sick and die, and you're going to overload the hospitals. Like, there's another side to this,
mm-hmm,
you know. And so what do you do? Like I said, when New York numbers start eventually going down and all these other states, there's like a fucking lockdown, a lot of these states in the middle of Timbuktu, the fucking nowhere, going to wipe out whole little small towns and cities and shit. What are you gonna do then? You're not even gonna have no citizens to lock down.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. The states that just don't wanna, they don't care. That's where the cases keep going up.
Right, because like you said, there has to be a balance, and the truth be told, there's so much anger, and the anger is not directed to where it needs to be directed towards. And it's the administration. And also it's the voters, you know, people don't want to admit that the voting populace is also part of the problem too, because you would have put competent people in these offices and had people in the House and the Senate that actually cared when they did the stimulus package. You know what would have happened? They would have covered rent and mortgages, they would have covered student loans,
yep.
They would have covered wages. You know, they would have covered this.
Well, also, I mean, you would have had leadership that took a role in being like, no, these are the rules for every state.
Right.
But you don't. He's very hands off. He wants all the credit, none of the blame. You know, if anything, Trump's the most American president in that many people, regardless of race, gender, creed, whatever, they really do believe in this. I want the credit, none of the blame type shit, none of the responsibility. And in that way, that's America. Like, they don't get more American than that shit.
Right. And it's also one of those things too, to where I feel as though then when you had these lockdowns, you probably still have motherfuckers being stupid, like protesting this shit, because this is America. But they would have been protesting with wages and money and shit like that. They wouldn't have been out here protesting because they feel like I don't have no money, but some of them actually do got money. I'm not trying to fund it. Some of them protesters like, don't tell me what to do.
Well, the protest thing is stupid because when they interview some of these people, you see like one, they're the same people that's just they've. I talked about this with Whitney Robinson. Like a lot of this stuff is about how Trump makes things about him, and so people that support him feel like going out and being against social distancing is supporting the president. So
okay.
His MAGA rally motherfuckers are the ones out there and shit. That's mm-hmm. why they all wear the same outfits that they wear to all the rallies and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this other part of it too, that if he weren't making things about him and saying this is about a hoax to get me and all this shit, if he just said, guys, this is serious, y'all really do need to practice social distancing, we will pass something to keep you guys compensated in the meantime, but the smart thing to do is to stay in the house. If he said that, there would be a lot of people that would listen, you know, because he's the president of the United States. Regardless of how people feel about that, the office means something to a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that aren't going to take it seriously because he didn't take it seriously, and that's because we didn't take voting seriously in 2016.
Yes.
All right, let's see what else you got here. Pastor Tony Spell says that churches need give them your stimulus checks.
Hashtag Pastor Spell Stimulus Challenge. Three rules. Number one, April the 19th, 2020, it begins. Rule number two, donate your stimulus money. Rule number three, donated to evangelists, North American evangelists who haven't had an offering in a month, missionaries who haven't had an offering in a month, music ministers who haven't had an offering in a month. I'm donating my entire stimulus, $1,200. My wife is donating her stimulus, $1,200. My son is donating his stimulus, $600. Hashtag Pastor Spell Stimulus Challenge. If you don't have a church, give through my website, www.ltcbr.com. Larry Tango Charlie Baton Rouge.com. I'm here on the Mississippi River. I'm here at Red Stick, Baton Rouge. Hashtag Pastor Spell Stimulus Challenge.
You know what? We were talking about this before. I do think that, and I know some people will be against it, but like you were saying, if giving churches money will prevent shit like this, go ahead and give them money. Go ahead and get the money, so that they won't be doing stuff like this.
What? All the things happening in the world.
I am disgusted.
All the stuff happening in the world, and this is what the fuck he was. You know what he might as well have been doing?
God expects you to do what the Lord wants you to do. Like those of you who realize that the Lord wants you to give generously into his church.
Amen.
Don't ask no questions. Don't ask how come, why come the pastor have to have him a nice house? Why come a pastor got to have a nice car? Don't ask. I said, don't ask. I said, don't ask. No questions. Just give the money. Get the collection plate around on that side. Nigga, get it around on that side. We gonna now have a B selection from the choir.
South Carolina to reopen public beaches, retail stores next week amid pandemic. Yeah, they just say, hey, practice social distancing on the beach, y'all. Should be fine.
And that's the thing. People are not, and I think that that's the problem. Like you say, some of these places, I agree that, society shouldn't shut down as a whole. But at the same time, when you're dealing with dumbasses, that are just like, fuck a social distancing, it respreads, and that's the problem. That's why they were like, well, fuck it. If y'all don't listen, just stay your fucking asses in the house.
Yep. The rollbacks follow McMaster's announcing that access to public boat ramps and landings is reinstated as of Friday. Trey Walker, the governor's chief of staff, told the paper that the beaches, as well as furniture, jewelry, and clothing stores, will all be reopened for business on Tuesday.
What does jewelry got doing anything?
Karen, people need jewelry at a time like this. How I'm gonna floss on the gram if I ain't got no new bling bling?
And furniture. Who's buying furniture?
Okay, Karen, I'm in the house all goddamn day. I'm gonna need a new sectional, okay? Now, I think you don't understand.
I don't, damn.
These are necessary expenditures in the corona apocalypse.
I don't understand.
The paper notes that social distancing will still be enforced on the state's beaches.
That's what they say, but who's enforcing these? Who is enforcing this? Nobody.
Police officers from 6 feet away, Karen. Hey, you guys, back up from each other.
No, they don't.
The state has over 4,000 confirmed cases of the virus with 116 deaths, according to data compiled by the New York Times. Texas became the first state to lay out a defined rollback of COVID-19 restrictions, with Governor Greg Abbott saying that Texas businesses would begin reopening next week through a series of executive orders.
What Texas is gonna do? They gonna shoot it? They gonna shoot the virus?
You got a Republican governor, man. This is the time where it's like, fuck, man, voting. We gotta get out the vote.
Get out and motherfucking vote them fuckers out of office.
Yeah, we gotta do something.
Because they're the only one, and guess what? And even some of them started putting restrictions and shit on, like, not all of them, but some of them was like, hey, people dying? My voting populace is dying? Fuck no.
Like, we have a president that only took it that serious because he saw Tucker Carlson talk about it. The people taking cues from him are no less dangerous. You know what I mean? Just because. Oh my God, we're in trouble. All right, let's see what else we got here, guys. Get out of this and get into some of our other segments. I feel like coronavirus is the main segment for everything now. Let's see. How about? I guess we can do some fucking with black people, guys. Let me go to the fucking with black people music real quick. But yeah, people continue to fuck with us, and it continues to be a problem.
Yes.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe, and we find articles that make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, again, everybody. All right, let's see who is fucking with us now. Bad Baby faces backlash for comparing growing up in the hood to Tarzan in the jungle.
What?
Bad Baby's meteoric career has been accompanied by accusations of cultural appropriation. These accusations came to a head when a picture surfaced of the rapper when she appeared to be applying makeup to her skin to look darker. After facing a wave of backlash, Baby hosted an Instagram live session where she addressed these allegations. In a clip that recorded a portion of her live stream, Baby explained that her mannerisms and interests are shaped by where she grew up. She likened this experience to Tarzan's fictional upbringing in the jungle.
Oh, is this a little white girl?
Yeah, Karen, it's her. How about that?
That girl, yes. Because I was thinking, I think I've heard that name before.
But you know what I don't remember remembering?
It's like I'm doing this show with the dude from 50 First Dates with Drew Barrymore character.
I don't be 50, remembering.
50 First Podcast. That's what this is.
I'm like, who?
2050 First Podcast.
That's what we do.
They're like, who this little white girl?
Yep. Y'all say I try to be black, said Danielle Brigoli at the clip's 3 minute 30 second mark. Maybe the reason for that is because I grew up in the hood. Tarzan, he grew up around the bears in the jungle. He didn't know no better. That's God. I don't know what would be worse, if she was accurate and said that monkeys and gorillas and apes, or if it's worse that she don't even know and said bears. I don't know what's worse. Bears in the jungle?
In bears. The mighty jungle.
He didn't know no better. That's all he knows. When someone grows up in a certain area or type or certain place, they're all part of their environment. There are a lot of flaws in this comparison, but the fact Baby liking herself to Tarzan while also ignoring the historically racist comparison between black people and monkeys and apes didn't sit well with viewers. Yeah, well, here's the other thing though, guys. This is literally like the, you know, not even close to the worst thing she's ever said. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe y'all don't expect her. Y'all, I don't even expect her to know.
Mm-mm.
It's like, this is not even the worst. And she also failed to recognize her role in cultural appropriation. I'm like, right. She's
right.
Incapable of grasping it. Like,
right. She's, I don't even think she's an adult yet.
Yeah. Growing up in the hood with Tarzan, growing up with bears.
With bears.
I'm old enough to be upset at the bears part.
Come on. Lions, tigers, bears, oh my.
That's so sad that I'm that old.
Like, and then another thing I like to say is, y'all say that I try to be black because.
Bring it home, Becky. Sorry, it's loaded.
No problem.
Maybe a reason of me trying to be black because I grew up in the hood.
Okay.
Tarzan, right? He. The story of Tarzan.
Mm-mm. Oh, they cut it off at there. Here's the other thing I will say too that's weird about this shit is that she is like she's not 18. Mm-mm. But this shit where people go on live and like I see so many things like this where it seems like live be driving people crazy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe because we're all stuck in the house, everyone's starting to slowly deteriorate. Because I saw like a thing with Megan Thee Stallion the other day where she was like drunk as fuck and just talking about fucking niggas and, you know, I fucking didn't come three times. Her friends like, whoa, 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 like, come, somebody go get the phone from Megan. She over here wilding, you know, and it's cute, you know, it's funny. I'm not judging her, but it also felt like one of those things where if she was outside the house, we wouldn't be seeing that.
Right. If she was busy doing shit, right.
Like, it's like we crossed this part, you know, from, you know, we just crossed this thing, this mark. She, also wanted to defend herself from her, blackfishing allegations.
Whatever, darker foundation. Little Kim wears foundation that, and no disrespect towards Lil Kim, I'm actually a fan of her. I have no disrespect towards her, but the girl wears foundation that's too light for her face. The girl went and got a nose job to have a smaller nose like white people. Like, y'all don't see that? She turned herself into, and I'm like I said, no disrespect towards her. I don't got no problem with it. She doing make her happy. That's on her.
It's but like be I'm a saying, problem.
She literally got surgery to make herself look like a.
Number one, that's gonna be a problem.
Yes, it is, and it ain't the same.
No disrespect. It's gonna be a problem. She knows she gonna take it as disrespect. The second thing is though, yeah, it's not the same as far as, the pressures of white supremacy on black people.
Right.
But people have often made that point. The thing is, they're not excusing it.
Mm-mm.
People aren't being like, yeah, when we look at what Lil' Kim has done to her body and her face, we're like, yeah, girl, go ahead and do that. Like, it's a lot of people that are like, it's kind of sad that white supremacy has that effect on a black woman who was a perfectly fine, beautiful black woman.
Yes,
who felt like, yes, she was not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lil Kim was iconic when she had that poster with the wide leg pose. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody had that poster in my college. Like, you know, she did all that work and stuff. Nobody has, no one even thinks about that stuff, you know, mm-hmm. the same way. So, you know, but see, she's young. She don't understand all that.
No.
You know, and stupid. You know, she's also stupid.
White person, she's wearing white, like, makeup that's light. And y'all don't say a goddamn word about her. Y'all don't say
a goddamn word
about her. But I put on a foundation that makes me look tan. I would be saying the N-word. I would be doing shit. That black people do the act black. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Who wants to be black? I don't understand that. I really just can't comprehend it.
It's making it worse.
Girl, just dive on in the grave. just go ahead and jump off the cliff. Just jump off the cliff.
Oh my god.
Do it expeditiously.
Who wants to be black? I don't even understand that.
Would be saying,
yeah, wag.
Oh, then they put the picture, they put the clip of her in the black face up there. Oh, so good. The worst part, they didn't even show this part. I thought I was looking through the article to see if they had it. But the worst part is that she had, she actually had a black friend with her that was laying in the bed while she was on Instagram Live saying all this, and she just cut it, like, she put the camera on her real quick, was like, bitch, if I want to be black, now my best friend is black, okay? And I was like, oh, that poor, see, you thought you could come kick it with her, probably not even best friends, probably that black girl somewhere, like, I barely know her, okay? I didn't even know that was the Catch Me Outside girl till today. I'm Karen. I don't even know who Bad Baby is, okay?
Mm-mm.
Oh my god, that is crazy. Mm-mm-mm. Lil Kim wrote, that Lil Kim hate is different. Before vowing to address the comments, there's more important things going on in the world right now, but you better believe when this is all over, I'm gonna put a date on and address and seal it with a kiss. Put a date and an address on it and seal it with a kiss. Oh, now that's power. How the fuck I become a target in the middle of a pandemic? See, I knew she was gonna take it.
I was minding my motherfucking business, dog.
You know Kim don't let shit slide. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, that's 100 just off of her stupidity.
Yeah, I gotta give it 100.
Talk about who wanna be bad. Blit, blit.
I feel like she a permanent 100. She's just stupid and popular enough to consistently do shit like this,
right?
You know what I mean? Because she's dumb, and then the reactions to her are so like, fuck you, bitch, blah blah blah, and then she's young enough to think she can like react to it and fix it, and you can't mm-hmm. you can't fix what you are. You Mm-mm. This is Iggy Azalea
mm-hmm.
times 10, you know.
Come on.
Oh my god, what an idiot. Carrollton superintendent promises serious consequences as racist video goes viral. Superintendent of Carrollton City Schools is promising serious consequences for two high school students who filmed and posted a racist video that has since gone viral. The video, initially posted to the social media platform TikTok, appears to show two teenagers using the N-word and making disparaging remarks about black people.
Oh.
Yeah, I like how they go, appears to. Or it could just be like the most elaborate Disney studio CGI that has ever happened, okay? It could also be that. Or the more than likely thing that happened is that some white people thought being racist was funny and filmed themselves and put it out mm-hmm. as they want to do.
Right.
The 50-second clip was shared so many times that Carrollton was trending on Twitter by Friday.
Oh.
Filmed in a bathroom, the students, one boy and one girl, mimic a cooking show as they pour cups of water into the sink. First we have black, the girl can be heard saying as the boy grabs one cup and pours it in. Next, we don't have a dad.
What?
Both students were quickly identified by the Carrollton High School classmates, and the video triggered a quick rebuke from the superintendent. Tonight, it has been brought to my attention that an inappropriate video was created on the TikTok social media platform. Please know that this video has been addressed immediately, and any student involved in the production of this video will face serious consequences. This type of behavior will not be tolerated. As of Friday afternoon, the district's response had been shared nearly 3,000 times. Shortly after 3 p.m., district officials announced the students were no longer enrolled in the school system. Alberta said that he was deeply disturbed by the overt racist tone of the video and that he agreed with the parents and other community members that were outraged by it. The incident does not reflect the nature of Carrollton City Schools, the superintendent said. We're very proud of our diversity and so is our entire community. We don't need to lose sight of this important attribute because of the actions of a few. School board member Gil O'Neill, who is Blank, told AJC.com he was appalled by the video. I was very surprised, just couldn't believe that in my day and age we're still having to deal with these type of issues, said O'Neill, a 1976 Carrollton High graduate who has lived in the city his entire life and is a member of the school's Hall of Fame. We are called Trojan Nation for a reason, and that is not indicative of anything that goes on in this community nor this city. His sentiment was echoed by school board chairman David Godwin, who said there were no excuses for this type of behavior. Yeah. And they say even though this video was recorded at home, it doesn't alleviate the student's responsibility to uphold a high standard of behavior. So you can't even throw that, it wasn't done on school grounds. Like, we don't care.
It went viral, dog.
Yeah. And then the white girl went on social media and started posting about how she's not racist. It was her boyfriend.
Don't nobody want to hear that, baby. I'm sorry to hurt your little poor feelings, and you might be, but I did. Becca, you might be telling the truth, but don't nobody care.
Yeah.
You might be telling the absolute truth, but nobody cares.
Yeah. I want to apologize for the abhorrent video I posted. I know in my heart how wrong it was. My boyfriend is racist, and he slowly normalized. Oh, wait. Sorry, guys. I want to apologize for the abhorrent video I posted. I know in my heart how wrong it was. My boyfriend is racist, and he slowly normalized his racism on me. Still, I should never have let him. I believe blacks are human too, made in the image of Christ. I have disappointed God, and I want to apologize. Please don't contact my college. It's my future, and one mistake should not ruin a life. Also, please stop with the death threats. Again, I apologize. Sincerely, Steph. Steph Freeman, who may have owned many of us. I don't know. Freeman is a popular name.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I believe blacks are human too. And I, you know what, Karen? Controversial. I agree with her. You know.
What? Black, yeah. Human?
Yeah, I hate to agree with somebody, you know, racist, but trust Steph, I guess. T-R-U-Z-Z Steph. Because I believe blacks are human too. You know?
Like, in addition to?
Well, obviously whites are human. I mean, come on, everyone knows that. But I think, you know, much like Brad Pitt said in 12 Years a Slave, these niggas are people. You know? And I tend to agree, Karen. I tend to agree. All the 5/5 of them. Not just 3/5, okay? Anyway, 0 to 100?
I'm gonna give this one 100. I was gonna go 75, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna give it 100. For the simple fact that you recorded it and you put it out there, and you actually didn't think there was gonna be no consequences with everybody being at home and nobody having a fucking thing to do.
Yeah, I appreciate the school doing what they supposed to do. Right. So I guess I give it 25. I'm not really that fucked with. Oh man, this has become old hat at this point. It's like white people, they get a little time on their hands. They're like, let's go to the mirror and post racism on social media. Can't help ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just bored as hell, I guess. I ain't that bored.
Mm-mm. And that was the wrong time to be fucking, because see, when the world moving, you know, shit like this can get kind of washed up beneath the the water, because, you know, the world continues to go on. But with literally everything standing still and everybody got time on their hand, people are going to actually find who you are and all this type of shit now. Dang it. Why? Because there's nothing else to do.
You're going to be great now, sweetheart. You're turning red from your back.
White House advisors say reopened protesters are like Rosa Parks.
No, they are not.
Disagree, I guess, Karen?
Lies.
Okay, all right. Well, I guess Karen doesn't agree with this take.
Stop it right now! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous! Get out of here! We are adults, and this is ridiculous! Cut the crap!
What was this lady doing while they was conjugating?
You said lady. A GOP economist and strategist, Stephen Moore,
What was the lady that was on the PA system you just played? Where was she making this announcement?
Oh, yeah, we needed her.
Right, telling them to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, somebody needs to...
Get out of here! We are adults, and this is ridiculous!
Cut the crap, indeed.
Come on.
Someone need to talk to these fools.
Yes.
Guy working to be President Trump's newest task, GOP economist and strategist Stephen Moore, whom Trump's administration has tapped to be part of the White House counsel to reopen the country, made the absurd comment
this
weekend.
Who's probably also not qualified for the job like nobody else is, but go ahead.
Yeah, him and Mark Cuban working on this together. Made the absurd comment this weekend in a story published by the Washington Post detailing the growing demonstrations nationwide. What he said... I think there's a boiling point that has been reached and exceeded. I call these people the modern day Rosa Parks. They are protesting against injustice and the loss of liberties.
No, bitch, it ain't the same. Where's your oppression? This is not oppression telling you to stay in the house so you won't die.
That's the oppression, Karen.
That's not oppression.
Okay. Have you ever been seen when there's a sale on Lululemon and you can't go? See, that's the thing. A lot of y'all talk all this game, but you never really lived an oppressed life, okay? These white people are going through it.
Oh, word.
And someone needs to speak out for them. And it's going to be me.
They mad because they can't jump off the cliffs and jump off the buildings and deep sea dive and shit like that. That's what they mad about.
Yeah. So, anyway, zero to, by the way, you know what this reminds me of the most is just how white people co-opt, people of privilege anyway, co-opt revolutionary rhetoric. And everyone's kind of guilty of it, I guess, because there's a lot of fucking liberal people that act like, you know, online revolutionaries and they're not. So I guess it's just the idea of how people just co-opt these movements into their everyday speech. And it's like they have no intentions of comparing it in any level of reality, you know? Like, this ain't... Like, you put strapping on your motherfucking gun, vest, MAGA hat, camo pants, and getting your Confederate flag out is not the same as the bus boycott that happened because of Rosa Parks, you know?
Because of motherfucking racism.
And you know this motherfucker ain't never heard of no Claudette Colvin, so, like, it's even further slap in the face, but, yeah. 0 to 100?
Oh, 100 off of stupidity.
Drakars for me. Like, keep her name out of your mouth, you fucking white supremacist. You know, like, you don't come from this. Fucking idiot. French medical experts slammed over racist comments on COVID-19 testing in Africa. Two French medical experts have been slammed on social media over comments that they made on the LCI television news channel about testing coronavirus vaccines on Africans. The suggestion that Africans could be used like guinea pigs is subject of a complaint made to the French media regulator. If I was a bit provocative, I would say that we could go and do tests in Africa. They haven't got masks, no treatment, no intensive care system. We could go and test there, said Jean-Paul Mira, the head of the intensive care unit at Cochin Hospital in Paris. It's a bit like when we tested vaccines against AIDS on prostitutes because we knew that they don't protect themselves, he added, making a comparison with Africans to prostitutes while discussing the use of the BCG vaccine for tuberculosis against COVID-19. The comments were part of a debate on French news channel LCI with Camille Locke, the research director at the French National Institute of Health and Medical Research. Who agreed with Mira on the principle of testing of any kind of vaccine on the African continent. Likening Africans to prostitutes and using them to test any potential COVID-19 vaccines created a storm on social media. Rashid Timal, senator of Val d'Oise, said the comments about treating Africans as lab rats wanted to make him vomit. Yep. Anti-racism group SOS Racism said it has submitted a complaint to French media regulator, saying the comments about making Africans guinea pigs were colonial in nature and unacceptable. Yeah. Okay. All right, Karen. 0 to 100.
Oh, now this one get a Jacaris for the fact that it was just stupid to even say that. Like, why don't you test your own people? Test your mama first. Like the board said, right, that your mama first.
Yeah, you know what's funny to me is, like, let's say they tested this on Africans, and somehow in Africa they discovered, oh shit, this is the thing that cures it. You know, they would not on any rate be like, well, then Africa owns the cure to this. They're the ones that gave up their lives to find the fucking cure for this virus. So if you would like to, your country to have it, be prepared to help us or pay us. Never. Like, complete colonialized point of view here, right? Like, no, we're going to use your bodies as, collateral and fodder for our experiments. And then, of course, keep all profits and everything for ourselves. Like, thanks for your heroic service of dying in service of white people eventually getting a cure.
Kiss my ass. You test your people. Kill your people. Because who knows what the fuck the side effects not. Do test your own people.
Yeah. That's insane, man. Like, and why, and the fact is, like, I heard the clip and, I mean, they say it so casually.
Right. Because, like, they believe it.
They never fucking thought anything about, like, yeah, this is, you know, this is kind of fucked up. You know what I mean? To them, it was just normal. But, you know, to me.
Black rains! Black rains! I'll kill any white folks I lay my motherfucking eyes on!
Yeah, Jacaris for me as well.
Yeah, that's very stupid.
Alright, let's move into some racism of our own.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is racist, as those French doctors. All right. A woman threatens her ex-boyfriend. She shows up at his job and continues to violate order of protection.
Well, damn.
21-year-old Tymesha Jones was charged with 2 counts of violating an order of protection when she continued to contact her ex-boyfriend after a restraining order was obtained and created Facebook post stating that he was molesting a 7-year-old girl. On March 5th, police spoke with Wayne Parker Jr., who stated that Tymesha Jones had been contacting him through Facebook, phone calls, and text messages, which violates the order of protection he has against her. Police confirmed that an active order of protection was taken out against Tymesha. Wayne told police that Tymesha used vulgar language and threatened to kill him in different messages. Police found that Tymesha had started posting statements on Facebook claiming Wayne was molesting a 7-year-old girl. Wayne showed officers multiple texts from Tymesha where she said that he was lucky he wasn't at the office, which suggested she had gone to his place of employment in an attempt to find and contact him. Wayne went on to say that Tymesha had used multiple phone numbers and Facebook accounts in her attempts to contact him. Officers observed multiple messages from Tymesha that were sent to Wayne. On March 6th, Wayne received multiple threatening texts from Tymesha, which had actually been occurring for this past several days. At around 6 p.m., Wayne received a message from Tymesha where she threatened to come to his house and take his firearms. Wayne also received numerous calls from blocked numbers he believes were from her. Wayne also has an active order of protection against Tymesha since November 1st, 2019. Tymesha Jones was arrested and charged with 2 counts of violating the order of protection. Her bond was set at $4,000. Can you guess the race of Tymesha?
Tymesha Black, and I hope the accusation she made was false.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem like she has some credibility issues in her story.
Right.
Black. Try me and see what happens, Black. Bligety Black. TPS, they're now, wait. Tyler Perry Black. Tymesha was a negress. some niggas. This is a free space. Tarnisha had time. Black. Corona the virus beta tester. Damn, Black. She was not looking at Snap. Black. Black girl. Needed some serious therapy. Tamisha had time. Black. Calling you a pedophile means I love you. Black. Unfortunately, sad face. Woman, thou art loose. Black. And goes by Tata at home and Maisha in the streets. The correct answer is Black. Everyone got that one. Yeah, I think also, like, in the day and age of, like, an accusation is essentially guilt now. You know, some people are gonna use that against folks. I mean, it's always been people, like, using stuff against people, but... You know, this is a pretty open and shut case of being like, you know, yeah, and he also be molesting children because she was say anything to, you know, and I think a lot of times narcissists and abusive people do this by besmirching your reputation, gaslighting you, you know, and all this stuff behind the scenes, and then but then to the public they actually claim to be the victim. So like, you know, on her Facebook pages and shit, it's like, this guy's an abuser, da da da. It's like, well then why are you stalking him and want to be with him? You know what I mean? Like, those two things don't make sense to me. That's that's how I always look at shit, where it's like, so this person abuses you, but then also you're consistently harassing them online?
Because
that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, most people in that situation, but they would do everything they can to separate themselves out of the situation, not harass the person that's harassing them.
Let's see. How about this one? An Orlando man, Florida, in the house. Orlando man, a 46-year-old man was arrested after investigators with the Orlando Police Department say he stabbed two men multiple times, killing one after an argument over his behavior in front of women and children.
Oh, okay.
Orlando police officers patrolling Pine View apartment complex on April 4th reported hearing gunshots. The officers wrote they saw an SUV speed away from the scene as they pulled up. The man inside the SUV, Craig Chavers, 46, told officers he had been shot. Officers spoke to people at the scene who reported hearing about 12 gunshots and saw others fleeing their area. A 911 caller reported a male victim was injured in the incident and was being driven to the hospital via private vehicle. Later that same day, two victims showed up to Advent Health with stab wounds. One man, identified as Brandon Jarrell Ingram, was stabbed at least four times all over his body and he died at the hospital. The second victim had a stab wound to his rib cage and was transported to the intensive care unit. The surviving victim told police he got into an argument with Chavers after Chavers was urinating in public and being disrespectful to women and kids. That's when the victim said Chavers stabbed him. The victim said he doesn't remember what happened after he was stabbed, according to the report. Chavers was arrested April 5th and charged with murder and attempted murder. The report did not indicate if he was actually shot or injured. Karen, guess the race of Craig Chavers.
I'm gonna go Black.
Okay, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Wiggity White, this is a Black. Stabby Negro, crazy ass Michael Ely Black. Unfortunately, all this sounds Black. Black, Black man, White, this is the jungle Bad Baby was talking about. White, Black with light eyes. A lot of Blacks on this one, very few Whites. Craig Black, Wigga, Columbus Short Black. Well, the correct answer is many of you went Black, a couple went White, and Karen went Black. The correct answer is actually Black. Some of you did miss it.
He did that, and I've never met a white Craig.
Good point. You know, it's the context clues when you really think about it, that give it away. All right, it's time to go to our bonus round.
If you are.
Yep, let's do it. Double the points and the race.
double the points in the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race, and a bonus round of guess the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2.
Yay!
But can her black ass go 3 for 3? Let's find out together, shall we?
I'm gonna try.
All right. A man was arrested for murder after claiming he killed the Terminator.
Oh shit, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
A Utah man was arrested after police found him covered in blood while driving a stolen golf cart. Police say the suspect told them he fought and killed the Terminator. William Dennis Bradley, 54, was charged by Salt Lake City officers after responding to a call about a stolen golf cart. The arrest affidavit said Bradley was driving a car on South Main while high on meth and covered in blood. He explained to the officers that he had been in a fight with the Terminator and killed him. After they pulled him over. After arriving at Bradley's home, investigators discovered a body. It was a body of 58-year-old Robert Carter. Detective Greg Wilkins said Carter's cause of death was blunt force trauma and was homeless at the time of the murder. Additionally, Wilkins said there is no apparent relationship between Bradley and Carter. Well, I mean, other than, you know, him being a Terminator and...
I mean, didn't you hit a man?
While receiving treatment at a local hospital, Bradley started to resist and attacked the hospital staff, two security guards. He was sedated, so an emergency room doctor could treat him for minor injuries. During questioning with officials, Bradley refused to stay awake and answer any questions and stated only he wanted to go to sleep. That is John Connor's father right there. He is currently facing charges of murder, grand theft auto, assaulting a police officer, healthcare worker, and two more counts of assault.
He's playing a live version of grand theft auto.
Karen, guess the race.
Oh, this is 100% white.
Okay. Let's check the chat room. White. Three first names, white. Joe Exotic's first husband, white. Oh. Meth head, white. Eddie Methlon, white. He didn't throw in the towel, white. Another impossible white man. Future husband of Joe Exotic, white. Social distancing protester, white. Meth equal white. Vanilla child, white. He might be on meth, but he appreciate the finer things in life, like golf, white. He was born in 2045, white. I'll be black, nah, white. White, meth white, driven snow, cocaine white. White, because niggas don't watch Terminator movies. Nigga, yes I do.
We seen them all.
I'll be back, white. Jackie.
That's hilarious.
Methy white, and whiteness is in the future now during that Rona. The correct answer is... he is white. Everyone who said white got it correct. My thing is, what if he's right? We watched so many Terminator movies. What if this is what would really happen if Terminators was real? Like, it'd be just like 12 Monkeys. Like, we would lock Reese up. Okay, we will lock John Connor's daddy up in a mental institution and be like, this man is crazy.
Yes, sir.
But it's like, you know what? We can't determine the relationship. We're saying that the man he killed was homeless. What if he's just a brand new version of Terminator that doesn't use any of the metal exoskeleton stuff? And so we just killed him, you know, like he killed the Terminator, he figured our way out to do it. And we just locked up the only hope for the future. And if Skynet takes over during this coronavirus pandemic, we all are not going to be able to come out of our houses again until the drones are fucking shooting us down. Like, what if this man was telling the truth and he is the solution? He even has a futuristic haircut. Look at this. This might be the wave.
That's too futuristic.
In the robot apocalypse, this might be the wave, Karen. Okay? They don't have time for, you know, great haircuts.
He out there like the Dome, yeah.
Ain't no supercuts in 2045, Karen. Okay.
No, supercuts don't exist.
When the robot army takes over, you know, all haircuts will be man-made. That's how they will know who's a human and who's a robot, because the robots will have perfectly, you know, coiffed hair like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 1. But then he'll have a Kyle Reese, haircut, and we'll know that his shit was, you know, he a human. Just saying. When that homeless thing wakes up in the fucking morgue and it's like, where is Sarah Connor? You motherfuckers gonna be like, oh, that homeless man was right. Whoops. My bad, meth man. in the future they might need meth to stay awake and stuff. I don't know. You can't sleep around these Terminators. Did they bring a dog to the scene? Did it start barking when it saw the corpse? Yes, I've seen Terminator a million times. Yes. Okay. Anyway.
Even the reboots, remakes, I think I've seen them all.
Mm-hmm. Alright guys, it's time for Sword Ratchetness. A teen has been charged as an adult after stabbing a home nurse with a sword.
Oh, dad trying to save lives in the Rona. You stabbing them.
Police are charging a 15-year-old teen as an adult after he stabbed his grandfather's home nurse multiple times with a sword. The incident happened Wednesday, April 15th, just before midnight. Police made contact with the victim who was bleeding from her neck and hand, and her fingers nearly severed off.
Oh.
She was taken to UPMC Altoona, where staff confirmed serious injuries, and she had to undergo surgery for the wounds. Police then arrived at the home on Stone Road Drive in Woodbury Township and noticed the teen, Michael Watson, staring out the window, and he matched the description the victim gave. Police report that the teen's mother gave them permission to talk to him, and they read Watson his rights. Watson reportedly told police he stabbed the victim and showed them where he placed the knife. Police observed a long 18-inch weapon with a green blade a black handle sticking out of the ground, covered in blood. That ain't a knife. That's a sword. Like, that's not even a Crocodile Dundee joke. That's literally a sword.
18 inches, my nigga.
Watson was taken to PSP Hollidaysburg, where he was interviewed with the presence of his parents on speakerphone. Watson reportedly told police the victim came to the house earlier in the day to help his grandfather. Shortly before she left, Watson says he went out to their car and got the sword from the car trunk and stuck it in the ground behind the car and went back inside. The teen says he escorted the victim out to her vehicle and directed her in a different direction. He then grabbed the sword from the ground, walked up behind the vehicle, stabbing her in the back and the neck. Watson tells police that she turned around and he continued striking her, knocking her to the ground, where she was able to grab the sword and pull it away from him. He was then able to get in the car, lock the door, and drive away. Oh, she was able to do that. Okay. Watson then reports that he washed his hands and legs. Of course, coronavirus. Gotta wash your hands and legs. Y'all say white people don't wash their legs. Well, joke's on you blacks. Okay. Changed his clothes and then he hid them under a bag of garbage in the front porch. He then prepared food for his mother and stepdad and served it to them upstairs.
What
a good child. You know, what a good son. 15-year-old Michael Watson will be charged as an adult with criminal homicide charges, aggravated assault, possessing, and
that was premeditated. You led her outside and then fucking attacked her.
Possessing an instrument of crime, recklessly endangering another person, with other charges possible. And I still don't know why he did it, although I guess, is there really a need to talk about why when you do something like this?
No.
Like, you did it. Good grief. All right, y'all, that's it. Tomorrow's guest will be Mike Kaplan, comedian. Yeah, we'll have a good time with him as well. See how he's getting by in the Rona.
Yes.
And I appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all listen to the Medium Talk interview with Whitney Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And, till then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.